You ask most people, they don't listen to most podcasts people. At 1.0 speed. That's
most people.
I would say that is the minority, but
I think that's a bit. Let's ask most people what they listen to our podcast at, just as a curious thing. It could be fun. Welcome to the DL Gaming Podcast. We're going to be talking about my time at Sandrock, Total War Pharaoh, a game which Nick hates, and he's not here, thank God, and Dead Island 2. But first, my name is Christian.
I'm Bobby.
I'm tired, folks. But you don't want to hear that. You want to hear that I've been playing video games all week.
Yeah.
And yeah, this construction sucks, this whole thing. But we're almost done. Two more weeks, and I don't know. Maybe I'll quit. I don't know what's going on.
Nice.
And then I'll focus on the podcast way more. But until then, let's talk about, let's see, what do we got? Our Patreon. If you want to support us so I don't have to work so goddamn hard, you could go to dlgaming.net and click on our Patreon page. You know, I was thinking about it today about like how we feel when we get a new Patreon. First of all, we're like super stoked, but it's not just the $5. Actually, it's less even than the $5. It's the you took the time to like go to a website, pull out your credit card because you don't remember the number, and you fill out the whole thing and sign up for yet another subscription. Like, that's the impressive part.
It is. It's so much.
It really
more
is.
You know?
Yeah.
We're asking you to do so much, but you can save an Emilio out there if you're. We need to put you on like commercials. Like, this construction worker has been at the site 120 hours this week. You too can save him. You can have an impact this Christmas.
So funny. Yeah. Yeah. Anyway, so you could be the guy or lady or person out there that makes us feel that way next week. And then we'll give you a shout out on the podcast as well.
Okay.
Hey, we ping things around here.
Oh, we do, unfortunately. Guys, I've changed the description for the podcast a couple times without telling anyone. Just, I don't know, it's in the back end and I like fiddling with things over and over. And I read an article by Spotify on like things to do so that your podcast is like super SEO friendly and people, you know, find it. So, but I'm reading this book and it's all about stories and why we like them. And I just wanted to throw this to you guys. Is what we do around here, do we just tell stories about video games and we're the people that play them? And the people that play them, us. Is that like a good description, good round off?
I mean, I think when we're at our best talking about a video game, that's what we are. But a lot of times it will just be like, this is what this is. We'll be describers and not like...
Storytellers.
Yeah, storytellers.
Yeah. When Bobby gets into the UI of a game, I think that's when we're at our peak.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's peak podcast. Okay. What are you pinging this week, Emilio?
Neuralink and the Future of Humanity is the title of the podcast. It's 6.5 hours. But Bobby listens to things at 1.6 speed, we've been told. And so that's a thing. Actually, I started... It's so funny that he brought that up because I started listening to this podcast at 1.5 because the host, Lex Friedman, if you haven't listened to that his podcast, they're pretty great. He talks to everybody and there's no politics and he just talks about really interesting things. It's great. Anyway, this one's about Neuralink. So it's four-part podcast. He first talks about Elon, who owns the company. Then he talks to the chief engineer on how they're getting the signals from the brain, putting them on a chip. The chip talks via Bluetooth to a computer outside of the brain. And then from there, the first patient, quadriplegic, can now control a cursor and play Mario Kart and stuff like that, which is crazy future shit. Then they talk to the neurosurgeon, who that's the part where I'm on right now, and it's very interesting seeing everybody's different point of view on the project. And then finally at the last you hear from the patient himself, which I listened to a whole podcast of him on Rogan, and it was very interesting how he's like, I don't have the illusions of grandeur where I think I'm going to walk again. He's like, my legs are just twisted and gnarled. There's no way I'm ever going to, but I love being the first person that's going to pave the way for the next set of people become quadriplegic to walk again. And I thought that was very noble of him. The way it's going to work is a lot of times your spine gets severed. And so, there'll be a neural link in the brain and one in the spine and one on the opposite side of the sever of the spine. And the data that's would be sent through the brainstem would just be done via Bluetooth instead. And they've already proved it in a pig that they could give a severed spine back its abilities. It's crazy. It's basically just the FDA that's holding them back at this point. We're in the future, man. It's crazy. Crazy cool. Stuff.
That's exciting. That's an exciting product placement you listen to for Neuralink. No, it is cool. I listened to, I forget whose podcast it was, but they had a neurosurgeon come on and talk about Neuralink. And I didn't know what to expect, but he was basically like, I'm not really that excited for just that. Like, so many other companies are doing this thing right now and they're kind of competing against each other. I think Neuralink is maybe the best marketed or maybe the most popularized, but he was just like, it's a great time right now. Like, a lot of cool things are happening that we can do. So, sweet.
Better multiple companies than just one, for sure.
Yeah. Cool. What do you got, Baba?
This weekend was QuakeCon. I didn't go, but I am wearing my QuakeCon 2016 shirt.
Hell yeah, right here. Dude.
Yeah. I love QuakeCon. It goes back a long, long time. I've been hearing about it forever. I went for the first and only time in 2016 and had a great time. One of the listeners of the show was living out there. I was able to stay with him and he had been before and kind of showed me the ropes. So it was really a great experience. I would love to go again, but it's really all about the LAN out there. They've got a very small exhibition area that you can go to. There's really not a whole lot there, but if you were just to show up and like walk the exhibition hall, you'd be done in like an hour. So I don't know if that's worth a plane trip in a hotel out in Dallas. But anyway, QuakeCon 2024 is happening this weekend, and they've got a few announcements. They don't really make a lot of big announcements. I think they even already announced Doom the Dark Ages, the new Doom game coming out, which looks amazing, by the way. I mean, it's just, the weapons look so cool. There's one that like crushes up a skull and shoots the bone shards out at people. I mean, it's just ridiculous. But looking forward to that. But the big announcements they made are Doom 1 and Doom 2 are getting a new, they've got a new bundle or a new release of it. It's free if you already have the, the enhanced version on Steam, which everybody does anyway, but it's got, it's got new maps. It's got this whole new pack of maps called like Legacy of Rust or something like that. Should have wrote it down. Should have had the name ready to go. But the important thing is that they've got new monsters and guns, which they've never done. People have been making new maps all the time. Even John Romero a couple years ago made Sigil, which was a bunch of new maps, which were really well done. But to see new monsters and new guns in the game, like officially, that aren't just mods, like that's pretty cool. But they're also introducing co-op, which I don't know how that really works in an old school Doom game. I've never, if you say Doom, co-op is the last thing to come to my mind. So I
we
never
play
really
co-op all the time on the couch for Doom.
On Doom?
Yeah. Four really? Player. Yeah. I went up to four players. We all went through the same map.
On a console?
On a console, huh?
Yeah. It was on console. Yeah.
Like on N64 or something? Because I know they had Doom 64.
It was at my friend's basement. I don't know. I can't remember.
Okay. Really grilling you here.
Your Honor, stop.
What else happened down in that basement, dude?
so much. That's a story for another time.
But they've had... they've had co-op in mods before, but this is like officially supported now. I watched some YouTube videos, some Twitch streams of it, and it looked about as good as I expected it to be. You know, it's just two people in a map doing the same thing. It's not really like that exciting, but I guess it's kind of cool they're adding that. They're also adding cross-platform to these Doom games, and they've redone the whole thing in Night Dive's Kex engine. So Night Dive is, we recently talked about them a few weeks ago. They did the remaster of Dark Forces. They're the dev company that's just like killing it with all these remasters. Like they're just like, that's their focus. That's what they stick to, and they do an amazing job at it. So that's exciting. What else is exciting is the id Studio. So there were mods out there for Doom Eternal, but you know, and it seems appropriate that there would be mods for a Doom game, because that's just like the first mods anyone remembers is probably from the original Doom games. Like that's kind of where modding started or really got popular. But there were mods out for it, but now they're officially supporting it with id Studio. That is going to give people like the actual tools that were used to build the game. They're going to give that to the community to build cool stuff with. So it'll be exciting to see what comes out of that. Not only that, it's going to make it easier to install these mods. You won't have to get, what is it, Nexus or what's the popular game mod app?
Yeah, ModDB or something. Yeah.
Yeah, Nexus and go mods, through all yeah. that stuff. And, you know, that stuff isn't like super hard if you're into computers, but it's a hurdle. Steam Workshop, so easy. You go there, click, I've got a mod, you know, just, you can't beat that. So that'll be good. Even the original Doom, the 2016 Doom, I guess that's not the original, but the 2016 Doom had what they called like mod support, or like a map maker. I think they call it like a snap map thing or something like that. I went in there and it was very limited. What's funny is I tried to build basically a MOBA, like a wave survival MOBA, and just couldn't do it with the limited capabilities of this tool. And then at that time I was listening to the PC Gamer podcast, and someone on the PC Gamer podcast said the exact same thing. Like first thing they did was go in there and try to make a MOBA out of that, which would have been awesome, man. I mean, even just a wave survival, Doom Eternal wave survival, dude, I would love that. That would be so good. So many great things come from mods. And it must feel crazy to like mod a game that is so like graphically intense too. Like usually when I think mods, I think like low res stuff like Gary's Mod or something. Anyway, last thing I want to point out about QuakeCon, they had a cat cafe there. There's a few pictures of it online. You can check it out. If you don't know what a cat cafe is, it's where you can go in, drink coffee, and hang out with a bunch of cats. Now, normally, it's not just about hanging out with cats. Although when I did this in France, that's what it was about. It was a cat cafe that was purely like you come in and you hang out with the cats and that's it. But typically, at least out here, when you have a cat cafe, it's really about adoption. You go in, you hang out with the cats. Maybe you connect with one. They look real cute. You bring your kid in and they just like hug one and they won't let it go. And then you take that cat home. That one's yours. And that's what they did here at QuakeCon, which is awesome. That's a cool thing to include there.
I hope there's some extra steps other than just liking it and taking it home. I hope.
I'm sure.
Dude, it's an adoption.
It's a vetting process.
Yeah. There's fees and they got to be spayed and neutered and all that stuff. Like, yeah. It's
Bobby,
how sanitary is this? I don't want to be drinking my coffee with all this dander.
Weird with cats, dude. You're weird with cats. They're cats. They're fine. Yeah. They're clean. They're clean animals. Okay, they clean themselves.
Dude, I don't know. My girlfriend's got a cat that just sheds everywhere. It's ridiculous, dude. I've never seen an animal shed so much.
Bobby saw me really with the lint roller before the show.
Sam wants to start a cat cafe. This is the only fucking business I can get her interested in. She wants to start a cat cafe in Chula Vista, California. I don't know how well it's going to go, but
I don't think there's one down there.
It's true. talking about Doom and the music of Doom, I listened to this 45-minute podcast. It's called Understanding the Music of Doom and like why it was so good. And the problems that they had and why the music was not so good in Doom Eternal. Basically, they're just having a falling out with the creator of the music and him not getting paid and all these things. And I think they went to court about it. I'm not exactly sure who won. But that was basically what happened. The this guy that went ham, I forget his name, and just made one of the best soundtracks of all time. Just they had a falling out and they took unfinished tracks and tried to shoehorn them in themselves on Doom Eternal. And that's why I was so fucked up and at the beginning. It's a great, it's 45 minutes, but it's totally worth listening.
That was a big story when Eternal came out. That was Mick Gordon was the composer.
Mick Gordon, thank you.
Yeah, I remember that.
Sounds like a superhero's alternate. Yeah. When he's not in cape and costume, he's Mick Gordon.
Yeah. Bobby, you seem very excited. I want to imagine you at QuakeCon kind of just losing your shit when they announce this stuff. And then, you know, in the crowd, you know, getting carried away, smiling even. I don't know.
Bobby
losing his shit is one raised eyebrow.
Yeah, I don't. These aren't like huge announcements. I mean, these are about as big as announcements get at QuakeCon. So yeah. I don't know. It's not like anything that people are going to lose their minds over, but it is cool stuff.
This is very like, if you happen to be there and they announced the Dark Ages while you were there, I know they didn't do it there, but let's just say in this fantasy world, I think you would have clapped. I think you would have joined the other people losing their fucking shit and at least clapped.
I mean, I'll clap along, but like, I'm not.
I'm not starting the clap. I would never start the clap.
I'm more of the crash of the wave, not so much.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Cool. Okay. Well, that's fun. I guess moving on down to highlights. Well, Bobby, doubleheader Bobby segment. Do you want to talk about my time at Sandrock?
Yeah, back to back. Let's do it. And then I won't talk for the rest of the podcast.
Yeah, exactly. When I edit the audio sometimes, I'm like, Bobby hasn't talked for 15 minutes. Wonder what he's doing. All right, hit us.
Okay, so this week I played my time at Sandrock. More specifically, I played this with my girlfriend. We were checking it out, looking for another Stardew Valley type game, and it's really tough. It's like I told her, like, it doesn't get better than Stardew Valley. We've been playing that a whole lot. It is the only game that she has ever gotten into. She didn't grow up playing video games. It's very foreign to her. We played through a few things. I tried to play like It Takes Two with her and some of these co-op games. She has a lot of trouble with the controller and puzzles and things like that. It's just completely foreign, but Stardew Valley somehow did it. Yes.
Teacher. Question, a point and click adventures. Maybe that is something narrative that would be fun to both play as you are both staring at the same screen, looking for clues, that sort of stuff.
Yeah. And we did play, not The Last of Us.
You don't fuck with Bobby's fun time. That's Bobby's fun time.
This you is can, my thing.
you can kind of play those games because it is like watching a movie. We played the Telltale one about the zombies. It was named after the famous TV show, and I'm blanking on it now.
The Walking Dead?
Mm-hmm. I'm gonna do the pointing and the clicking. The pointing and the clicking. You can watch.
Well, it's not about... That game's not about the pointing and the clicking. It's about... Or the ripping and the tearing. But it's about the... it's about the decision-making. Okay. And some of these other point-and-click adventure games are a lot more puzzle heavy. So another one that I thought we might check out was a new Sam and Max game came out. They remastered or brought back these Sam and Max games, starting with Sam and Max Saves the World about 2 years ago. Then there was a second one maybe a year or two ago. And then the new one is just coming out on August 14th. And I've never really was into the Sam and Max games back in the day, but I thought, maybe this would be a good time to jump in. And I thought it might be fun to include her on that as well. But I don't know how that's going to go. I really don't see that happening. It's very interesting to watch her play these games because she, with Stardew Valley, she's not into the relationships with the townsfolk. She's not into the story. She hates when she gets caught in a cutscene. Like it's, she really just likes the farming and the, and she's getting into like fighting in the caves now and stuff, but you know, it's 2D, it's top down. So it's very easy to play and there's very little punishment when you go wrong. With my time at Sandrock, this is a very different game. It's like definitely it's a progression in the complexity here. So I wasn't sure how this was going to go. So if you've played My Time at Portia, it's like the same thing, except Sandrock is multiplayer. It's a farming sim, casual adventure game, but it's also 3D third person, which makes it tough with a controller because you have to control the angle of the camera and also where your character goes. Now, for people who grew up playing video games, not a problem. But for her, and even a little bit for me, who stopped playing video games before the analog, or stopped playing consoles before the analog sticks came out, it's a little weird. And every time I use a controller to play a game like this, I'm like, this would be so much easier on a keyboard and mouse. But anyway, I mean, the game, it's pretty good. It's way more quest heavy than Stardew Valley. Stardew Valley has quests and it has relationships you can form with people that unlock things, but it doesn't force you to do that. And it has a much different approach where it just throws you into the game and you figure everything out on your own, which is really nice and I think I prefer. But Sandrock has this, it has way too much dialogue, and it says, okay, well, now you got to build one of these and blah, blah, blah. Here's my life story. And then you got to go over and talk to this guy to get this part. And then you go out and find these, and you have to like jump from quest to quest in order to progress. And yeah. Every time you talk to someone, it's just like three screens of dialogue, and it's voice acted too, which is nice, but also drags out the dialogue.
Oh my God. How did your girlfriend not throw her controller right at the screen? And you cheer. You cheer when that happens.
Can you set the dialogue to 1.6 speed?
I don't know. That would be really helpful. Or you could just start skipping it.
Did she like it, Bobby?
I don't know. The jury is still
out. Do you
guys
speak?
All right.
No. Because I don't know if she's just like going along with it, which I think she is. Like, she's giving it a shot. Like, I know she struggled a lot. You have to learn a lot of new things, like how to navigate the menus and everything, but she's struggling a lot with the camera angle. She has to like stop, adjust the camera angle, then walk. And also it gives you waypoints where it tells you, okay, your quest marker's over here. This is where you need to go. And like, it's just tough to navigate that 3D environment for her.
She needs a Neuralink, dude, just so it's like, she'd be able to, you know, you could skip the whole controller thing. You could just go straight to,
you just think it and it happens.
Yeah.
I guess. I don't know. I mean, eventually when you build some muscle memory and proficiency with a controller or a keyboard and mouse, that's kind of how it is. Like, you don't actively think about it. You just do it. I mean, and that will come along, but I can tell the dialogue is wearing on her, as it is on me too, because there's just a lot of it and they really front load
you
with
so
it.
So good for each other. Too.
Yeah.
I don't know how people do it, man. I don't know how people play these games and are just like, oh wow. Yes. Tell me about you and this tavern you own and why you need 6 pieces of wood and 4 pieces of stone. Like, go on.
Dwarf paladin. We need you to protect ourselves. Yeah.
Or someone. And then it's funny because there's always
like you guys met at like ihatecutscenes.com. Like, these dating sites,
I think,
are so niche.
I think a lot of people hate cutscenes. They're just afraid to admit it. All right. It's a silent majority out there. We don't need the cutscenes, especially when they say, like, they give you this big long spiel. And then at the end, they give you that dialogue option where it's just like, okay, I got it, or please go on, explain more, you know, in different terms, but like basically that happens. I never click the one that says, no, please explain more. Like, yes, show me how to do this tutorial for combat or something. Like, no.
A team of people worked so hard on those dialogues, man. But it's all right. It's okay.
Yeah. And that's why I feel bad too, because like when they do voice acting, that's not cheap and that's not easy. But at the same time, it really slows down your game. And Stardew Valley does such a good job of this. There's no voice acting, but they convey a message in like one or two sentences. Sometimes they do a little bit more, but for the most, and it's very sparse throughout the game. But even so, like, you really get to know the characters of the town. You know what they like, what they don't like, their hopes, their dreams. Like, you connect with them. Like, they accomplish the same thing with a lot less, and possibly even do it better. So I don't know, man. It's like, it's so hard to find a game that's like Stardew Valley. It's like playing or trying to find another MMO after you've been playing WoW all your life. It's just like, dude, you're not gonna get that high again.
I would recommend it. There's a lot of hoops to jump through in order for you guys to get there, but Harvest Moon? No. What is the one on Switch?
Oh, on Switch? I don't know. Harvest Moon's like the original one.
Animal
from Super
Crossing?
Yeah.
No.
Animal Crossing. Thank you so much.
Dude. That's a different
type
of game.
You don't know how many.
That's a different
type. You
don't
know how many hours go into that. She would absolutely love it, I would
say.
Well,
Animal Crossing is more about like getting cosmetics and decorating your farm and stuff. And she doesn't really, like, as we've been playing more and more Stardew Valley, I'm starting to get into that. Like, I'm starting to decorate the house and get the farm looking all cool and the walkway is just right. A little bit of city building or city planning.
Is it black and white with three items inside the house?
Yeah, my house is. Her house isn't. We got another thing on there. But she hasn't really shown much interest in that. So, yeah, it's... I don't know if that would do it for her. But, I don't know. We'll keep looking, man. The other one that I'm looking at is Sunhaven, but I'm not sure. Surprisingly, a lot of these farming sim games are not multiplayer, too, which is...
That is really interesting. Unusual. Not even... Rihanna's played all of these games in her quest to find something like Animal Crossing, like Stardew Valley, My Time at Sandra. Isn't there something called My Time at Portia that's similar?
That's the first game. It's a single player game that came out.
Right. Yeah. This is the sequel to that game. Okay, that makes sense. And to my knowledge, she's always been like, this is fine, but it's not like what I like. You know, it's just not the same. It's not what I need. It's not what I'm looking for, even though it's like related in genre. So maybe there's, My Haunted Chocolatier, that's like what everyone's probably waiting for, right? To fill that void of Stardew Valley-like game.
Yeah.
This is a pretty game, man.
My Time at Sandra.
I like the graphics. Yeah.
Yeah. It looks good. It's not a bad looking game. I have a feeling what's going to happen with Stardew Valley is we're just going to eventually get into mods. We don't want to move away from the game, but we need something different. So, yeah, and they've really added a lot with the latest patch. I mean, between the time that I really got into it about 2 years ago and now that we're playing it, like, they've added a ton, especially late game stuff too. So
let me make a moisture farm on Stardew Tatooine, and you have me. You know, we changed the setting a little bit.
That's probably be done.
Just reskin the game and you have me. I've tried getting a Stardew Valley so many times, and I don't know, something about it is, I'm like, oh, my starting farm is so much bushes. So I clean the whole thing, which takes me like 3 days. And then I'm like, okay, now what? I'm an organizer. Maybe I'm not a builder. I'm an organizer. Maybe that's some insight into how I like to play games. I don't know.
You want to fucking... plan an entire city, but you can't handle a garden.
I can't handle a garden. That's true. It's so embarrassing.
It's just big picture here. It doesn't deal with the small stuff. I want to, you know, the first time I played Stardew Valley, I was like a little confused by it. Like, I don't really get it or what's the point, but, it took a little while for me to get on board with it, but I don't know. It's just like over time, it's like the game that just keeps giving. I'm going to go to our website, dlgaming.net, and I'm going to search for Stardew Valley, and I'm going to find the episode, the first episode where I talked about Stardew Valley. I'd love to hear my initial take on it.
That's awesome. Oh, we should play a little soundbite of that next episode when you find it. Yeah, that's good.
I'll see if I can dig it up.
I would love it if he's like, Stardew Valley sucks. Just play that all.
First of all, the UI, crazy. Okay, cool. Awesome. I'm going to go down to, I'm going to hit you with it. Total War Pharaoh. It's the latest Total War game and a return to their historical titles. So they have these two things going. They have these fantasy games, Warhammer, Troy-ish, I guess. And then they have their historical titles, which is what I grew up playing. Your Medieval 2, your Shogun, your Romes. And now we're in the Bronze Age. And I didn't know much about the Bronze Age, probably like most people. It's just a period of history. You maybe hear some stories like the Trojan War that happened in the Bronze Age, but you don't really know too much else about it. I read this book, 1177, The Year Civilization Collapsed. And it talks all about the Bronze Age and how these stories that exist from like the great, like Greek heroes are kind of maybe the only things that we do know about the Bronze Age, other than all these civilizations disappeared. And we don't really know why. People like your Minoans, Trojans, if you've heard of the Babylonians, Hittites, Mycenaeans, those are the people with like those giant labyrinths in Crete and in Greece. Nobody knows why all these structures and all these people disappeared. They think plague, earthquake, drought, and then I guess the leading theory is these sea peoples, which were, I guess, Vikings in the Mediterranean that came down and killed everyone. And that's the angle that, of course, Total War Pharaoh takes, because it's the most interesting, because you have these big baddies that appear as kind of like a mid or late game boss for you to deal with and try to sack your villages and take your women.
It's Vikings versus like ancient Egyptians?
Well, not Viking. They're from like southern Ukraine and they're like raiders. The closest thing is probably Vikings, but they're not Vikings. You know, they're still.
Gotcha.
Yeah. The era is cool, I think, a little bit because of the ambiguity. You're kind of playing through what ifs of history. What if the sea people?
That's what I was going to say. We don't know much about this time, right?
No, we don't. I mean, the fucking pyramids were built. How did the huge thing? I guess we kind of know how they might be built, but there's all sorts of theories. Yeah, stereotypical aliens. And it's weird because, you know, the Babylonians, they have this huge structure, the Hanging Gardens of Babylon, which we only know about because people talked about it in these clay tablets that they sent each other. And they're talking about buildings that are like 7 or 8 stories tall with plants from across the known world to them. That's a feat of trade, of science, of all these things, and then just disappeared. No one knows what happened. So you get to play in that era, and that's super cool for at least me. Total War Pharaoh is not a new game. It released October 2023, but I'm playing the Dynasties version. When it released, people, including Nick, hated it. They hated this game. It was happening at a lot of other things during Total War that were going bad. They like charged for this terrible Warhammer 3 DLC, which got a lot of people upset. They laid off a bunch of people at their studios. People were generally like, this developer is kind of going to shit. We don't like the direction. And then Total War Pharaoh released and they're like, take your historical Total War game and shove it, you fuck. You know, like people just did not appreciate it, even though.
Yeah.
Like mechanically, I think it was probably an okay game, but like it wasn't really doing anything new. Dynasties completely changes that. Dynasties adds like all these new regions, so many more mechanics, units. It's like a Rome 2 or a Medieval 2. Like it's a full ass game, not like a tiny. Creative Assembly releases like Total War Britannica, Total War Troy, which are like almost like these mini campaign games, and then charges like $45 or $50 for them. This isn't that. This is like a huge, totally
big one.
Standalone. Yeah. And it's worth the price. I think I paid $45 for it, which is what I would expect for like, you know, a cool standalone title. Guys, I don't know what to tell you. I come to this podcast every week. This is the best one of these games that I've played. I'm sorry. I should make like a sound bite of me saying that. I see like, yeah, I don't know. Believe me. Okay, if you like Total War games, if you like historical Total War games, Total War Pharaoh is like a must play. It's like a cross between Rome 2, Crusader Kings 3, and Total War Troy. There's dynastic marriages you have to navigate. There's resources to manage. And I think the cool thing they do is like they incorporate religion into it, but it's not like Apollo is a spell and he blinds all your opponents or like fire arrows rain down from the sky. Like it's not mythological. It's like your general prays at the temple of Apollo and the morale of all his troops go up and the archers are more accurate. So it's still not completely historical, but it's a little bit more in line with like, maybe you visit a shrine and you are inspired, you know, maybe you do some ancient magic mushrooms or some acid or whatever the, you know, religious, things that you'd have to go through and the drugs that made that possible. Yeah, there's so many options. Like I can't get into it. I don't know where I would even start. It's fun. I love it. A lot of 4X games get criticized as like map painters. All you're doing is left clicking on a map and you're painting the map your color. That's kind of like a criticism that's thrown out if the game is too simple. This is not a map painter. Like I'm like spending 15 minutes before hitting the end turn button, just going through all my options, making sure I understand everything. And then every 4 to 5 turns, I'm having like a big battle. So you get the RTS component, you get the grand strategy component, and I'm having a lot of fun. The battles themselves have so much going on that I'm going to use it as an excuse to talk about next week, because there's just so many interesting things going on here, like terrain type. I'm not even going to start talking about
sand it. Sand or coarser sand?
Exactly. That's what the conversation next week is going to be focused on. So prepare yourselves for that like riveting discussion. But
I don't know why the listeners show up, but I'll tell you why I show up every week, guys. I like love listening to Bobby complain about cutscenes and story, and I love you finding the next game you've ever best game you've ever played every week, dude. Yeah. It's fucking this is phenomenal. Like, if you were to track the odds of this happening. Cosmically, dude, this is a cosmic coincidence that somehow.
18,000 games released on Steam a year. Christian somehow finds the best. I think maybe, I don't know. This might be getting, you guys are my therapist, but I'm sitting down and I'm playing a game and maybe like, I'm just opening my mind to like the experience of the game and it just hits me in the right spot. Maybe, but also maybe I am finding the best games and you guys suck. I don't know. That could be either or.
I'm not complaining over here, dude. I think it's, dude, if we could take 20% of that enthusiasm, give it to Bobby. It would be...
Dude, did you hear Bobby talk about QuakeCon earlier? Are you kidding?
Yeah, that was true.
His blood
he had
was
a
pumping.
Smile on his face.
Yeah.
That's another reason you should sign up for the Patreon. We can get this poor soulless boy to another QuakeCon.
Oh, we were talking about it maybe last year when Bobby probably mentioned QuakeCon the last time. But it would be so cool to go to a giant LAN tournament like QuakeCon. That would be like a, as an adult, that would be like a once in a lifetime experience, probably. I mean,
you might also come to the podcast to listen to Emilio's poorly reviewed games. And here comes another one.
Nice.
A new hot, fresh take. So Dead Island 2, I picked it up for $30, maybe a little less. I remember being shocked by the price because it had just come out. And let's get into it. So it's a first-person survival a zombie survival game. It's set in the Hollywood Hills. And so I'm only about an hour and a half into it. And you're going through like rich people's houses, like these mansions, you know? And the first one is like this Spanish style mansion. And it's just an interesting setting, you know? Because the houses are not usually when you're going to these neighborhoods in games. The houses are they're just replicas of each other. And these are just like, you know, huge sprawling estates. And there's lots of nooks and crannies in there. So that was kind of unique. Other than that, the combat, I haven't got a gun yet. But there's a huge emphasis on stamina. A lot of games have stamina, but it doesn't really matter. You can just keep swinging. This is like three swings and you got to like take a couple breaths, which is kind of nerve wracking when you have four zombies on you. Like, what am I going to do? I can't raise my weapon anymore. So you really got to think about stamina and how you are going to use your resources, like life, like, am I okay getting scratched here so I can go finish the one that's on the ground and stuff like that? The combat's probably one of the better parts of this game. The other better part of it is the campy humor. I am a big fan of that. I think if you do zombies, you got to go two ways. You got to go campy like Zombieland, or you have to go hardcore horror like 28 Days Later. You can't skirt either one of those. I feel like you got to just jump in.
What's an example of someone that hasn't done that, like that hasn't gone to either extreme?
Oh, where you're trying you're trying to skirt the like both of them.
Because like I Am Legend would be something where the zombies were like a little bit more interesting. Like they weren't zombies. They were like, oh, they had like this weird zombie culture and like something was happening there.
They were like, yeah, I wouldn't call, was this, is that a zombie movie? That's not, it's a vampire movie. No. Aren't they vampires?
Maybe. I also watched a movie where, like a young adult movie, where he falls in love with a girl, then becomes a zombie, and their love saves him from becoming my, it was so good, dude. So good. I loved the movie. It was not good, dude. I loved it.
I know what you're talking about. I know what you're talking about.
I forget what it's called. Bobby, what were you going to say?
Me too.
No, I was just going to agree. I don't think in I Am Legend, I didn't consider those zombies. I thought they were just some sort of like wild animal. But I haven't seen them in forever.
They're people who are bit and they change into zombie looking things. Right? No? I forget how that movie went.
Maybe like the later versions, later seasons of The Walking Dead. Just, you know, they were throwing in campy kills with trying to be a serious drama at the same time.
Right.
And yeah, that's when it kind of fell apart when the writers changed. Something like that. I can't think of anything else. But most movies fall into the you did it wrong category. I love zombie movies. By the way, there's one I recently watched, another Korean one. It's called #Alive, about like how social media is adapted into this zombie apocalypse. I thought it was so good. It was awesome. One person in one apartment for the whole movie. It's great. And he's still tweeting the whole time. It's pretty good. Anyway, so this is that. This is the funny route. The characters are one of the strong suits in this game. You know, like I wanted to play as all five of them. I was very either. You're in a plane crash, you choose which one you're going to be. And I was like, man, they all seem cool. I went with Carla, the Mexican MMA fighter. She kind of reminds me of, Bobby, help me out here. In Aliens 2, there was that hot Latina chick with the big heavy weapon.
Mm-hmm. I can't remember her name.
Perez?
It was something like that. Yeah, it was like
Gonzalez. Yeah. Anyway, Perez. It's very cool. So I went with her. Having a good time. You quickly align yourself with a like famous Hollywood actress, and she has her handler with her, and that guy's ridiculously funny. Just trying to. He thinks that fame still matters when like, people are dying everywhere. Yeah. It's great. It's not a runaway smash hit, but I will continue to play it in between whenever I have 20 minutes to rub together. I can't recommend it now. I'm gonna continue to play it though. That's all.
Sweet, dude, that was awesome.
It's no Total War Pharaoh, I'll tell you that,
but it gets the job done.
It does. All right, get the
so
job done.
The aliens actor was Vasquez. Private Vasquez.
I was way off, dude.
And okay, and you said #alive. I'm going to check that out. And then I think the movie with the zombie boyfriend you were talking about is Warm Bodies.
Yes, Warm Bodies. Yeah, I went on a first date to Warm Bodies. Ah, how could I forget?
I remember that
Bobby,
movie.
Bobby, what you just did right now, I need you to do all the time, like every episode. This is great.
Yeah, just clean it. Just act as what do they call it at the end of the book or at the bottom of the page? The footnotes.
An index? Yeah.
Or the glossary. Yeah. So there was one, oh God. I'm going to find it and I'm going to bring it up later, but there was one. Zombie movie that nobody's ever heard about, and the only reason I heard about it was because Patton Oswalt had mentioned it on a podcast, just kind of off.
You guys are best friends you guys are best friends. Yeah.
And so like I put it on my watch list, eventually watched it, and it was brutal, dude. Like it's a bit of a rough watch, but it is really good. And like it's
hard to do.
What's it called?
That's what I'm looking up right now. It's going to take me a minute.
Okay.
Until then, I will juggle.
Yeah. Now go for it. Let's move on with the show.
Okay. This highlight section was brought to you by people in our Discord who make up our community, like ScramTX. And he says, finally picked up DRG Survivor. Man, oh, why did I sit on purchasing this game for so long? It is amazing. Best bullet hell heaven game I have ever played. Uh-oh. Looks like I got a new game for next week, folks.
it's in my wheelhouse for a game of the year.
Yeah.
No shit. Yeah. For $14.99 or whatever it costs.
That's fucking awesome. Cool.
Yeah.
If you have a game you're playing, drop on down to the Discord and tell us about it. We'll shout you out on the show. Thank you for Scram for bringing up DRG Survivor. Yeah, everyone's talking about this, and I'm kind of like, I want to play it. I've never played a bullet hell heaven game. I never played a Vampire Survivors, like whatever we're calling them, a VSL.
This is the one, dude.
Yeah.
This is the one.
I saw that, and I played around right before the podcast. So good. So good. It's definitely my game of the year. Yeah, now that I think about it, we're getting close to the end of the year. It's probably going to be it for me.
And Bobby and I have not like agreed on one in many a moon.
So. Oh my God.
I don't think that's too rare, but yeah. Everybody loves it. And I'm surprised. I thought, because you usually read something from the listeners at this point in the show, and I thought you were going to go with Nyanko's Borderlands review.
Dude, I'm not even going to touch that. Have you guys seen the Borderlands?
I'm
going
to go see it this week. I got it. Okay. I have to see it.
Okay, I'm going to see it this week, too.
Good or bad, I'm going in. All right, I found the name of that zombie movie, and this is why I couldn't remember it. It's called The Sadness. It's got a very generic name. And it is, I don't think Korean. I think it is like Filipino or something. Let me see. But it is, dude, it's Taiwanese. Okay. If you've got the guts, dude, watch this movie, The Sadness.
Like gory?
It is gory, but it's also just, it's really sad, dude. It's sad. It's very
a little on the nose. It's with the title.
It's depressing, but in a very sick way. Like it's a gut wrencher. It came out in 2021. Jeez. The Sadness.
Jeez.
Okay.
By the way, what podcast are you listening to that Patton Oswalt is on?
No, they're best friends, dude. He says
2021.
Podcast is the cover. He comes over every Thursday for lunch and Bobby's.
Does he have a podcast that I don't know about?
I don't think he does, but he guests on a lot of them. It was either Doug Loves Movies or maybe Malton on Movies. I don't know. I listen to a lot of movie podcasts.
Can you please talk about Sins of a Solar Empire so I can go pee and make myself a drink?
Of course. I would love to do that to you. So we're moving on the radar. These are games that have caught our attention, but we haven't played. And I'm talking about Sins of a Solar Empire 2. Which comes out August 15th, 2024. It's Sins 2, baby. I played this game growing up. The mods for this game, there was a Star Wars one, a Stargate one. You know, there was all the sci-fi ones. I think there was a Star Trek one. It is a RTS 4X game that focuses on choke points. So you can't go from any planet to any planet, like in the real world, kind of probably. You go on these chokeways between planets, and that creates these grand battles where you can build a bunch of fortresses and stock them with fighters and lay mines. And so it's very attacker defender focused, and that makes the game pretty exciting. You get these grand battles that are super fun to play. You get these hero units that are your captain ships that you upgrade, and you can go down all sorts of paths. And the game hasn't been updated in a long time. They released, I think, 4 DLCs for the original Sins that totally increased the game. I think there's one called Diplomacy, one called Vanguard, one focused on fortresses, these huge mega structures like the Death Star, where you can shoot a planet from another system. And super fun. This was kind of my first space game that I got really into. This was like before Empire at War. And what was cool about it was that it was real time. So it wasn't like a turn-based game, which the Galactic Civilization games were turn-based. I think Sid Meier had a space game as well that was turn-based. But this was the first like, things are happening and I can't pause the game. It's just happening right now and I have to kind of deal with that. 10-player multiplayer is expected for Sins of a Solar Empire 2, which I think is the most exciting thing because you get these, a lot of times in an RTS, it'll be Team A versus Team B, and very quickly people will fall off, and that will totally inconvenience one team. And from an early onset, it's kind of like, okay, obviously Team A is going to win because their player got steamrolled in the first 10 minutes of the game, and it's just kind of like a waiting match to figure out who's actually gonna, you know, get the points or the XP at the end of the RTS game. But for Sins of a Solar Empire, you're playing on this giant galaxy. You each start on a corner. it's not so much team-based as everyone's expanding at the same time. And I think that's a little bit more dynamic. You have, everyone has these choke points, everyone's expanding. And so I think it would be just a more fun multiplayer experience. So I'm hoping to play that with the community. If you're out there and you like RTS games, you like 4X games, and you're looking for something a little bit more fast-paced, like Sins of a Solar Empire, let me know, and let's get some multiplayer games going. I think that would be super fun. Bobby, I mean, we've played some space games together. Any interest in Sins? Maybe a little too fast-paced? I don't know.
I'm well aware of this game, but I've never really had any interest in playing it. Not sure if that's going to change anytime soon.
Okay.
Do people call this game SICE? Is that S-I-S-E?
I believe they call it Sins.
Okay, we just call it Sins then. We're just
forget
the
E. Yeah, all right. Just E does not exist.
All right.
This is, I don't have a whole lot of information here. I just want to get where you guys are on Star Wars Outlaws. How interested are you guys? This is, you know, the newest game in the Star Wars universe where it, I guess, is not really attached to anything else, any of the other stories. You are kind of like a female Han Solo making her name in the universe. But yeah, doesn't, you know, you're not going up against the Hutts, I think, or anything like that. It's just kind of like its own standalone thing.
I believe the Hutts quest line is a DLC pre-order bonus.
Oh, gotcha.
So, how I feel on Star Wars Outlaws, so, I'm excited
so it's
enough.
Ubisoft.
Yeah.
You know, so that's the thing that it has going against it the most. When I was looking for a link for this, I could not find the Steam link, which means they're going to hold out for 3 months before they realize they're not selling shit on their own website and then put it onto Steam.
I'm about that excited. What you just said, I'm that excited. I'm excited enough to give it a go, but not if it's not on Steam. You know?
Yeah.
Like, I can't be fucked with the Ubisoft launcher. And also, I'm worried that it's just another Ubi game that I won't really feel drawn to because it'll be, like, drowned out in UI and, like, equipment upgrades and the things that, you know, I can feel them trying to string me along. They got me on a string. They're playing the fiddle, and I just click X and say, why did I spend $80 on this? Or $100. I think Star Wars Outlaws for in Canadian decals is the base game is $100, which is just like a mind-blowing amount of money.
Yeah, $70 US or $129 for the Ultimate Edition or $17.99 for the Ultimate Edition. I don't know what that means. There is two prices for it. So I guess you could subscribe and get it, but is it a contract? Do they make sure they get their money? Like, I don't know what the fuck that means.
I have to name my firstborn Outlaws. It's a contract.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I like the idea of finally the sidekick not being like a droid. I think that's kind of cool. I like that it's like this little creature thing. Besides that, I don't know. AGC played it for, and he has a review, not a review, but like a preview. He played it for like 16 minutes. Talks about how it was refreshing that you weren't like this Mandalorian that has all these abilities. You really felt she's broke at the beginning. You really have to scratch for every decal. So I thought that was cool. But he had no major complaints, so we'll see.
Maybe it'll be awesome. I would love for it to be awesome. I would love to get lost in a Star Wars game again. But I did listen to the episode last week where Bobby talked about Star Wars Bounty Hunter, and I was like, oh yeah, that's the shit I want to get into. You know? So yeah.
Yes.
Did you see what season 4 of The Mandalorian is called? It's called The Mandalorian and Grogu is the season. The name of it. I just thought it was cool. And down that it's a partnership. It's no longer, you know.
Yeah,
I think it's cool.
Any thoughts, Star Wars Outlaws, Bobby? You feel the outlaw in you?
I don't know. Some things about the game look mildly interesting, but it's not something I'm going to be picking up right away. I don't know. I understand what you're saying about these AAA title games that come out, and they feel very manufactured. They have everything that they think makes a good game, or on paper makes a good game. Like, they've got the formula right. It's like, you've got to have character progression, skill trees, and, you know, they're checking all the boxes, but the game itself has no heart and soul. And when you get down to, like, the core gameplay mechanics, it's, like, not very satisfying. It's just, I'm doing this so I can unlock the next thing, and that unlocking the next thing allows me to unlock the next thing. And it just, I don't know. I worry that's what this game is going to be like, but who knows? I mean, I like the idea of, I like the Star Wars part. I think that's what I'm getting at.
Yeah.
If this had been any other game, zero interest, but because it's Star Wars, I'm just like, I'm listening.
Yeah.
You know, what's funny is like the Deep Rock thing, Deep Rock Galactic Survivor is just unlocking the thing so you can unlock the thing, mm-hmm. but they did it right.
But the core gameplay loop is actually fun. Yeah. Like, I actually have a good time playing the game. It's an added bonus that I unlock stuff and I progress, but like, I play the game because I'm having a good time.
Absolutely. Bobby, do you lose regularly? Like, I lose.
So the way they changed
20% of the time?
When I first started playing it, it happened a lot because you unlock the main levels and then you can't really do much more. You're playing the really hard ones, and unless I get a super good combination of drops, like, I'm just going to fail. But the way they've done it now is you have all these minor upgrades you can unlock with weapons and I think classes. So like, you work on like a gun unlock and it gives you 3% more damage and 3% more range every unlock you get for that gun. So you can focus on that, then take that into the main gameplay. There's just more to do now. Like, they've given you a lot more to do. So you aren't just, and that was kind of the problem that I ran into in one of the early stages of its early access, is I just hit a point where I was just like, it's too hard. Like, I can't beat this. But now they've given me kind of more stuff to do and get that incremental upgrades. That'll make it a little easier when I go into the harder levels.
All right. What else we got?
Guys, it's time where the game where you make money to guess a video game sound. That's not a proper sentence. Anyways, you're going to guess a sound. You've already sent in a guess. And if you get it right, you're going to win what's in the pot, $40. Every time you guys send in a guess that's wrong, we add $5 to the pot. The pot is growing. The pot is at $40 currently. Isn't that great? You can email pixelshitshow@gmail.com to guess. And this is the sound. That's actually,
he literally Googled generic blaster number 6.
Yeah.
And that's what came up.
That's actually the sound that Emilio makes on the toilet after a night of drinking. And that's what you should guess when you send in your guesses. This week we have a guest from Sound Wrecker. He says the medium plasma cannon rifle MPLAS from MechWarrior 2. First of all, love the specificity. Love it. Next, Bobby Emilio, what do you think?
Could it be more wrong?
When did MechWarrior 2 come out?
I think 1995. He's in the right era.
Yeah, okay. So the hints that we have so far are mech and 90s. So I'm glad to see that this person is at least using those hints, because this came out in 95. I don't know. Yeah. Could be. I have no idea.
But it does sound dated for sure when you hear it.
Yes.
I guess 90s gives you that.
The clue already, some would say. And I think what was interesting about this guesser is he sent in the mail. I was like, okay, cool. But he didn't send his username. But then in the Discord, someone said, yo, I think I got it. I'm going to send in the guess. So that's how I got his username, Soundwrecker. And on his Discord profile, he says that he's a sound engineer. So I thought, oh, goddamn, maybe I've met my challenger. Maybe there's someone out there who knows his shit. Maybe this is an actual like audio artist who, you know, knows the libraries or whatever. Unfortunately,
that is correct.
That is not correct. Unfortunately,
why do you keep playing like 3 weeks in a row? You've been playing that sound.
I think it's funny. I don't know. Is it funny? Maybe I'll find a generic. But he did not get it right. So Soundwrecker, thank you for sending in that very specific guess. But
Soundwrecker is like ChatGPT, confidently incorrect.
You didn't get it this week, buddy, which means next week there's going to be $45 in the pot. Bobby, Emilio, and Nick have opportunities to help you. Nick isn't here. unfortunately. But they're going to play a little game. And I don't know how this one's going to go. Okay. This is for our
Bobby, get your game face on.
This is for our international listeners. Okay. I'm going through the Spotify data. You know, we have listeners in France, in Mexico. You know, we have listeners all over the world who know all sorts of languages. So I thought, you know, why don't we do a tour of the languages we know at the DLG podcast and play a little game out of it. So I'm going to speak to Bobby in French, a language that he's at least studied and knows a little bit. And then Bobby is going to talk to Emilio in Spanish. And then Emilio is going to tell me the one word of the game we are guessing. Now, Bobby, the only rules are you can't say the name of the game in Spanish. I can't say the name of the game in French. But by the hints you give Emilio, he will say the name of the game to me. Okay, clear? Everyone clear?
I have a name on it. International Telephone.
International Telephone. I like it. That was on the spot, guys. This guy's amazing. Okay, cool.
That's what I do.
So this is going to be my broken French. Bobby, c'est un jeu... Tu joues avec ton famille, quatre joueurs, tu achètes les plots et tu mets les structures dessus. Et le but du jeu est de faire tout le monde la bankruptcie. Et quand tu gagnes, tes relation avec ton famille est détruite parce que c'est un jeu que tu vas jouer une fois par an. Alors, Noël, c'est un jeu de Noël, OK? Tu sais le jeu?
Bobby is pensively thinking. No, you can't say what it is.
Oh,
Bobby.
I can't guess it right now?
No.
Oh, okay.
Well, maybe.
No,
I think you need to describe it now in Spanish.
Yes,
to me.
And then Amelia will tell me the game.
Turn it into Christian. What our final answer is?
Oh, c'est un jeu tableau. Si c'était pas évident.
So in this challenge, Bobby has to be a polyglot.
Yes, and Bobby has the hardest role. Which I asked Bobby what his Spanish comfort was, and he said -3. So that should be good.
Yeah, and
do
I don't...
First of all, do you know what game it is?
No.
Oh, great.
So that's the first problem.
Okay, c'est un jeu tableau. Toutes les plots sur le jeu a une différente couleur, comme rouge, bleu, gris, et la but du jeu est de collecter ces couleurs, parce que quand quelqu'un...
I'm trying to remember what it's called, though. I know what game you're talking about. We played it. You were terrible at it. What was that game?
I don't think.
Oh, doesn't look like that's the game, dude. Christian doesn't know.
Can I look it up?
And what happens if we can't get halfway, Christian? Like, can we give him half a hint?
I don't know if this was a good game. That's what happens. Okay. I don't know if you know the game. I don't know if you know the game.
He's got no Spanish, dude. Maybe just message him the name of the game, and then he has to tell me.
No, I looked it up. I know the name of the game now.
Okay.
I think that's the right one.
Now you have to describe it to me in Spanish.
How do you say game in Spanish?
Juego.
I knew that. I was fucking with you. And that's all I know in Spanish. I think this was a big Perdidas de Tiempo, if you know what I'm saying.
Ooh.
How do you say circle in Spanish? ¿Cómo se dice?
Círculo.
Círculo. Okay. You guys like to really you like the Italians. You like to add a lot to the world. Okay? It can't just be circle. You like circulo. You add a little extra. Okay.
That's the passion. Spice. Yeah, passion.
Some might call it passion. Yeah.
All right. So, circulo.
All right.
Rojo.
Yeah, red circle. Yeah.
E. Mm-hmm. Is it azure? How do you say blue?
Yeah. Blue? Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Sure. Red circle blue. Red circle blue.
Dude, I don't know my colors in Spanish.
We're talking about the logo?
No, no. So think of a game that has this in it. So Circulo.
Okay. Yeah.
How do you say colors in Spanish?
Colores.
Dude, I don't know any Spanish. This is pretty wild. What's funny is like I could hear Spanish and I could pick up on a few things, but if you asked me to speak it, not a thing.
Because it's the exact same word with just like as an accent. Yeah. On it. It's an A, an O, and yeah. Or an E.
So El Bluo.
Okay.
El Bluo.
Rojo.
We El Bluo Verde. This fucking bit, dude.
Dude, I don't know. You're going to have to cut this part green. Out.
Okay, yeah. I'm not going to cut shit. This is like okay. Podcasting the top of the mountain. This is as good as it gets. I know I've been learning a bit of Spanish. Quiero.
Oh, boy.
Quiero pagar.
Yeah.
I don't know the next word.
What do you want to hit?
No. Okay. I think this right. It's over. International telephone. Fail bit. Fail game. The game was...
You know what? I have to say, you should have known this was going to happen. So he DM'd me this week and said, hey, how much, on a scale of 1 to 10, how's your Spanish? And I said, -5. So you knew this was going to happen.
In my defense, pretty sure you said -3, dude. Okay. But... yeah. Okay. So game didn't work out. Sorry. That means no hint unlocked for you, dear listener. It's not your fault. It's
not because, yeah, it wasn't our fault.
Yeah.
It was the showrunner.
Well, I would blame Bobby's Spanish ability. That's just me. You can blame whoever you want. Yeah. Maybe it's my fault. Maybe it is. It's Bobby's.
I mean, I do live in San Diego and I know like zero Spanish. So that's pretty wild.
What was the game?
The game is Monopoly. So first of all.
Oh my God, dude. Okay. So when you first started talking, I'm like, oh, it's Monopoly. And then as you kept going, I was like, oh, it's Trivial Pursuit. Because you're talking about all the different colors. Okay.
How dare me thinking it's a video game? How dare me on a video game podcast think that you guys might be talking about?
How dare you? Yeah, you should ask yourself that. Anyways, next week, $45 in the pot.
Red circle blue? What are you talking about?
Well, that would be Trivial Pursuit.
In Trivial Pursuit, you have to fill the circle with all the different colors.
Oh, yeah. Gotcha. Okay. Yeah.
PixelShitShow@gmail.com to guess, folks. Listener questions, Bob. After that riveting segment, now we move on to the best part of the podcast, right?
The best part being listener questions?
Yeah. Yes, okay. Sir.
He was scrolling up and down looking for the best, something labeled the best part.
I guess we don't have any subs this week. Or subs.
Is there a gold star by something here? I don't.
What is he talking about?
Yeah, I don't know if this is the best part. It depends on the questions we got. We've got a few this week. We'll see if any of these are gold here. First one's from Zap. What's one PC game that everyone should play? No Half-Life, Fallout, StarCraft, etc. Give us some hidden gems.
I read this question and he says no Half-Life, but I thought surely Black Mesa is the modern, when we were talking about it.
But why are you bringing it up if that what's been excluded from the game?
Well, it's not I feel like it's a Half-Life people might not know about. It's a Half-Life adjacent. It's a cousin.
It's pretty much Half-Life.
Yeah, it's Half-Life.
Okay.
I'm gonna go crazy. Here's why it's crazy, because I haven't played it. But two people that I very much respect, love the shit out of it, and I'm going to say The Return of the Obra Dinn. Chad texted me the other day, and he was just like, have you played this game? And this is literally 2 weeks ago. I'm like, no, but Bobby really liked it. He goes, this is something special. This is incredible. And I was like, all right. Two people said it's great. I guess it must be great. And those graphics would never work on any other format ever. Like, there's no way that comes out on Xbox and does well. There's just no way. There's no way.
Have you guys played Total War Pharaoh, Roost 2, Lacera, Summit Kingdom, or Manor Lord? Those are the Just naming off.
Did you just have a conniption, dude? What'd you say?
I'm just naming off games from that I've talked about for the last like five podcasts.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I don't know if I have a good
but
answer.
But yours would be like, I'll answer for you, dude. It was like City Skylines is probably your answer, right?
I don't know if everyone should play that game. I don't know if that game is for everyone. I think Return of the Obra
Dinn. It's very PC.
Yeah.
Yeah. A game that everybody should play doesn't necessarily mean your favorite game. I don't know.
It's not what I'm trying to say. I'm saying like it's very PC forward.
It is. Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yeah. And when I think of a PC game that everyone should play, I think something they couldn't play on a console or wouldn't be the same experience on a console. So that kind of narrows it down.
Like Worms with seven other of your friends?
Yeah, mm-hmm. Worms is a good time.
That's a unique experience, man.
Minesweeper?
For sure.
That's a good one. I don't know. I'm gonna.
We're the worst podcast ever. This is it. It's like
we've talked about a lot of good ones on this show or on this episode in particular, like Stardew Valley, Deep Rock Galactic, Deep Rock Galactic Survivor. But there's one game that I shout out every now and then. It's worth mentioning. Call of Juarez 2 Gunslinger, or maybe it's just Call of Juarez Gunslinger.
Yeah, I don't think it's 2.
Yeah, I think it's just Gunslinger. That game is incredible. I don't think it's very exclusive to a PC. It's just a plain old first-person shooter set in the West, but somehow it manages to be so much more. You can find it on sale for like $2. It takes like 5 or 6 hours to beat. It's incredible. And even the arcade
mode. Don't fuck it up and play the wrong one.
Yeah.
Because we have one of the funniest moments in DLG history is when when Ray played... Call of Juarez 2. He played Call of War.
I think he
Call
played the original Juarez. Call of Juarez.
Either one.
Yeah.
And in that game, he had to run up a mining tunnel, and the carts kept coming down, and he couldn't get up the mining tunnel, and he's like, "It's impossible. Bobby, I don't know why you think this game, it's impossible to get up to." And we're watching the live action, like the video capture that he did, and he just gets trucked over and over by this mining cart. Well, it's so good.
I think the clip is somewhere on Twitch too. And the funny thing for me, who was listening to it at the time, was like, he was trying to time the carts, but they had no timing to them.
Oh yeah, they were random chaotic carts, yeah. Dude.
You have to watch the clip, and the funniest part about it is we watch it on the podcast. Like we watched it back when we were recording the podcast in the same room, so we're all watching the clip as he's describing it, and we're watching him like actually play it. But what happened was he was trying to run up this tunnel, and these mine carts were coming down, and he thought there was a timing to it, so he would. Look up there and one cart would come down and then he'd say, okay, as soon as that one comes down, I'm running up the hill. And he didn't realize they were random. So one comes down, he turns the corner and immediately there's a mine cart in his face, like no way to dodge it. And just runs him over.
Mind you, he's playing the wrong game.
Yeah.
He's playing the wrong game.
This was back when we had the homework where we would say, okay, this week Emilio is going to play this game because I think it's good and I want to see what he thinks about it. So
we got to bring that back. It's the only way Chris is not going to play his new favorite game every single week.
I don't know. Yeah, it was tough. It was work. The homework session was work.
Yeah.
Because the deal was you had to at least play 3 hours of it. But yeah, I said Call of Juarez Gunslinger because it's a fantastic game. And he played the original Call of Juarez. And he beat it too, to his credit. He played it like all the way through.
That's awesome. Yeah. I'll take informal homework from you guys anytime, by the way. If you ever want to stop hearing about City Builders.
Deep Rock Galactic, I think he has to play Deep Rock Galactic Survivor because he's never played anything in those genres.
Hmm. Yeah, if you haven't, that's probably one of the better ones. That clip should still be on Twitch. The last time I checked, that clip is there. We should dig that up and put it on social media because it's a classic.
I'll do that. That
can
one's a
we
good one.
Put it in the description in this somehow?
If I can find it, I'll link it in the description.
Sweet.
Thanks, man.
All right. Next question from Zap. Turkey just banned Roblox to protect children. If you could ban any game for any reason, what would be the game and what would be the reason?
Call of Juarez. Mine carts.
Hate the idea of like predatory match four games that like your grandma gets to level 1100 on, but she had to spend like $500 to get the special currency to get the lives to.
So you're saying pretty much all mobile games.
Dude. Yesterday was Chad's birthday. And so I bring up Chad, like you guys all know who he is. He was one of the original three casters before Christian. I think Christian was in his dad's nutsack when this happened.
Like, probably, this
a long time ago.
Yeah.
And we're on his birthday, we got to play. Our wives let us play Magic for an hour and a half, guys, on his birthday. It was fantastic. And he's like, so what are you playing anything? Like, and I'm like, I think he's gonna think like what video game I'm playing, right? He goes, are you playing anything on mobile right now?
He loves mobile.
No, dude,
games.
I'm not playing anything on mobile. Yeah, he plays mobile. That's what he does. Cause I think it's, you know, it's dad life. You know, he works at Blizzard and he's very busy there, and then comes home, he's got a baby and life.
It's very easy to hide your gaming addiction.
Yeah, on a mobile phone. Just hide on the toilet and play. And boy is he addicted. And it's one of the worst. He is addicted to Star Wars. The Catch'em game or Got'em game, what are they called?
Gotcha.
He's re-addicted. He played it when it first came out.
Galaxy of Heroes? Yes,
Galaxy of Heroes. He's gone back to it. He has four accounts.
Oh my God.
And he's explaining to me why the strategy of each account.
Yeah.
And then halfway through the second description, I said, wait, you're running out of energy and you need to keep clicking. So this is why you have extra accounts. It was fundamentally, yeah, that's why I have it. But it's just like, fuck, dude. Like you are. And he goes, I am neck fucking deep into this whole thing. He's like, yeah, help me. Basically, it was a cry for help. I think cry for help. Wow.
And why do I feel like you didn't help?
Well, I tried to introduce him to Magic again, and he's turned off by how powerful the cards are now. But it's like,
bro, be turned off how powerful your level 100 Darth Vader is, dude. Come on.
Yeah. Like, what is it? Rising tides raise all ships, right? That's the term. Yeah, sure. All red cards are super fucking powerful, but so are the blue and the white and the... Who cares about the old cards? They're too expensive anyway. Just play the new cards. I don't know. That's the way I look at it. Hmm. Who cares if... It's called power creep. It's a real thing. How do you make cards exciting? You make them more powerful, basically.
Hmm. Yep. It's a cycle.
Yeah.
All right. So it sounds like we're banning mobile games because they're predatory.
Yeah.
All right. Question from Atom. What two-player co-op only games would you recommend to someone with a significant other or gaming partner? Bread and Fred would be my initial pick, followed by It Takes Two, then Kiwi.
It Takes Two? Crazy opinion from me. Not a great...
Didn't like it.
I was going to say not a great game, but so that would be inaccurate. Not a great game for me and Rian, for sure.
Bobby, what's the prison one we called? Is it called Get Out? No. Get It Out? Let's Get Out. Let's Leave.
Let's Leave.
On Let's our way out.
It was called A Way Out. But I kind of like Let's Leave.
Let's Leave.
That's how all prison breaks start, right? Someone just says, hey, let's leave.
Hey.
Why are we here? Let's not be here. Yeah,
That was
they told us to stay. But let's leave.
That was the not the first game. The first game was Brothers, A Tale of Two Sons.
And, so good.
Yeah. And then there was A Way Out, which was not very... it didn't quite catch fire like It Takes Two did. But It Takes Two kind of built off of that and made it 10 times better. And yeah, those were the games by Joseph Ferris.
I wouldn't say It Takes Two is 10 times better than A Way Out. I think they're different games.
Well, they both have They're both co-op games where you have to rely on the other person to help you.
Yes.
And it takes two really... A Way Out was a little more on the walking sim side. There were quite a few puzzles, but not so many that involved us like working together and communicating, although I did really like the end. But also, it's just like such a better idea. They had the whole like marriage thing and like you're the little kid and like the creatures shrunk down. Like that just works way better and it's going to appeal to more people. And it was more fun. It had like a serious side, obviously, but it was like more fun where A Way Out was more like a drama. Like it really felt like it was trying to be more serious. It's like a period piece jailbreak thriller type thing. But...
Yeah, and a lot of people don't know about it because it wasn't a runaway hit, but I think it should have been.
Mm-hmm. And what was nice about it, too, was only one person had to buy the game. Yeah, so you could play with someone. I think you only had the game, and then I was able to install it with, like, they called it, like, the Buddy Pass or something like that. You basically install the game, but you can only join someone else's game, which is a good idea. I looked at these games. So Bread and Fred that he recommended, it kind of reminded me of Ibn Ob or Love in a Dangerous Space-Time, maybe, just like a co-op platformer, puzzle platformer with very, like... old school kind of graphics, but Kiwi, spelled K-E-Y-W-E, is that looked a lot more like It Takes Two to me. That looked like a 3D environment, solving puzzles as a team. It looked pretty interesting. It's like $25, came out of about 2 or 3 years ago.
Yeah. But thanks for bringing up Lovers in a Dangerous Space-Time, Bob, because this is one of my favorite games, and I've never made it far. Even me and you trying hard, we've never got past the third or fourth world.
Mm-hmm.
And that's okay, because like, it's just fun working together and assigning tasks. And that game is, it's like Overcooked, but instead of serving dishes, that doesn't matter how delicious it is to you. Like you're all this work to make these dishes to serve these people you never see the face of, but in Lovers in a Dangerous Space-Time, you're working together to explore this space and move forward.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. Like, and if I
it's something for the group, as opposed to somebody else that is going to pay you more money.
Yeah, and that one, if I remember right, because Overcooked is like, here's one level, everybody work together, then you beat it, you check that off, you get a star rating, you move on to the next one, it's a whole new thing. But Lovers in a Dangerous Space-Time, like you have a longer campaign that you're working on and you get upgrades to your ship and people have to work different parts of the ship. And it's all 2D, so it's not like overwhelming or like incredibly hard, but it's
left, right, down, up.
And it's four player too.
B.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
maybe that's
which
what
is awesome. I don't think we ever got a four-player.
That was
game.
That was a good game, man. I really liked Loving a Dangerous Space-Time.
Me and Rand beat that game. We were very pro,
dude.
We also beat.
We should be, because we never got that far. I played that game with several other people, and I've never been.
I think with up to four players, you get the at times is the difficulty. So it's not necessarily easier to have, it might be a little bit more chaotic in fact. We also beat Overcooked 2. We 3-starred everything. And I think that's the one I would recommend because it just starts off easy. And once you get what you need to do in the timing and the order and whatever the fun little puzzle that they throw at you that makes the level different is, you can basically beat every level. And if you're like me, who doesn't care about stars, that's fine. But if you're my wife, Rianne, who 100% games and won't move on to the next one until she 100% one, and then she says, well, we're playing this together, you need to play with me. And I go, okay, I'll do it for you. And then we beat the final level with 3 stars, the final boss. And then the game says, hey, guess what? There's a 4th star now. You can do all the other levels.
Oh my God.
I'm like, no. And then I'm like, Rianne, please don't make me do it. And she says, no, I'm not going to make you do it. In my mind, this is 100%. But yeah, Overcooked and Overcooked 2, great games for co-op play. And if you want to, if you have your windows up on a hot day, everyone can hear what's going on inside your house and you're yelling at your significant other, like, pass me the tomatoes. I'm just saying, be careful. People could call people on you.
If your relationship could survive those two games, I think you're going to do just fine.
People could call people on you.
You know, yeah.
All right. Next question from Warconius. I noticed Emilio and Bobby only have a few hours in Baldur's Gate 3.
Shame.
Is there a reason? This game is Larian's best effort. It's a masterpiece.
I want to do it justice, and I want to be able to play 2 or 3 hour sessions. I don't want to just dabble. So retirement is when I'm going to play that
No,
game.
Dude, after this new building is wrapped, maybe that's
no. Well, maybe
the but multiplayer think about game this. We play. Yeah.
I want to retire at 55, so 10 more years. That doesn't sound too crazy, but maybe. Maybe you're right.
I've got two reasons why I don't have many hours in this game. Number one, and this is, you're not going to like it, I think Divinity Original Sin 2 is better. I like that game better. It is more like a CRPG, I think, and Baldur's Gate is more like a D&D, and I think that's difficult for me with my lack of experience with D&D. So,
but not the other millions and millions and millions of people that played it without D&D experience.
Yeah, I don't know, and I think a lot of people like this more too because they have fond memories of the original Baldur's Gate games. Like it's got the power of the name working for it.
I don't think that's right. That sold $15 million copies.
I will say this. If Bobby doesn't understand something like fundamentally, like through and through, then he has a harder time enjoying it. Like he needs to really understand something.
Yeah, and this, you know, it could just be a matter of like I haven't really got into it or spent the time with it, but I don't know. I just when I started playing it right off the bat, I was just like, I don't like how they do the toolbars. I don't like how that's always like the dice rolls. Like it, I don't know. I just didn't like it as much as Divinity 2.
So. Christian, how long did you guys spend learning Cuphead before you played a game of Cuphead in person?
A Cuphead?
Yeah.
Oh, at DLG Con? Yeah. Oh, yeah. Not that long.
4 or 5 hours?
No, it wasn't that long. But we were still playing it wrong, and then we finally figured out how to play it right. So our effort did pay off, I feel like.
Yeah, you guys were like, we're on Boss World 7. I'm like, no, there's no way, dude. There's no way.
I don't know, dude. We were getting pretty good at that game. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It's funny. Okay. Bobby, go ahead. No, please. After Canadian standoff, it's now your... I will go after you.
We always surrender. There is no Canadian standoff. It's...
the other reason, too... God, I had two reasons for this, and I'm trying to remember the second one now. I mean, I want to say that all those cutscenes, that doesn't help, but that's not the main reason. I don't know. Christian, go ahead. Maybe it'll come to me later.
Okay. So what you're saying with Baldur's Gate 3, which, first of all, is very like, I went into my house and there was new paint on the walls and, you know, they upgraded the cupboards and, you know, the old dusty 90s countertops are now marble and modern. And I feel like it's a very like, I don't like change sort of take on things, but whatever. The second thing is.
I think a better answer, maybe, Bobby, if I may, maybe you just don't like D&D's mechanics. Like fundamental D&D mechanics.
Well, I think we all know I just don't like D&D.
Yeah.
I mean, most of my biggest grievance is the role-playing, which if you take the role-playing out of D&D, not that bad.
Of this RPG, right?
You take the role-playing out of this RPG. Yeah.
PG.
Yeah.
Take a PG. Take the R out. We just wanted a PG. Yeah. It's funny that you have these criticisms of Baldur's Gate 3 because when I was listening to this podcast, before I was on it, you guys would talk all the time about Divinity Original Sin 2. So I wanted to try.
Yeah, I think that's one of the best games ever made, but well, like, I don't know. It's coming in the shadow.
But I wanted to try this game as someone who doesn't play these games, you know, coming from like some strategy titles. And I launched it and I feel like I had the same experience you did. I was like, none of this is intuitive. I don't really understand what's going on. And I don't, I feel like I can't get into it because of those reasons. And I tried maybe two or three times to get into it. Minnie, who used to be on the podcast, tried to walk me through it. I didn't know what was happening. Me and you played a couple of times. That time, I felt like I was more understanding the game. But even then, I don't think I was totally clued in. And Baldur's Gate 3, to me, just seems so natural. And like I was like, oh, I know exactly what to do here. This is all coming very intuitively to me. So opposite reactions, but maybe coming from the same place. I don't know.
I don't know. Maybe. Yeah, it just didn't really fit well with me. But then again, like that stuff can be learned. So if I spent enough time with it, I would understand it and I would probably enjoy it a lot more. But the second thing I did remember, and this is probably more of the real answer here. There's something that happens, and I wasn't really aware of it until I started thinking about it. But because we do this podcast, it changes the way that we play games. At least it does for me. It changes my gaming habits. I wouldn't game the same way if I didn't do this podcast. And one of the side effects I've noticed is if somebody is really into one of these games and they talk about it a lot and it keeps coming up,
you'll shy away from it.
Yeah, I won't play it just because intuitively I'm like, okay, we've got coverage on the show. I don't need to. I've got other stuff. Like gaming is kind of a bit of a job, even though we don't really treat it like that on this podcast sometimes. It is technically like kind of a job for us. So if people
we got boots on the ground in Bahrain. There's no reason for me to fly out there.
Yeah. And right? This has happened before with Binding of Isaac, which is a game that like I've played a little bit and I really liked, but then I've never really pursued it because that's like Amelia's favorite game and he talks about it all the time. Like I've just never really gotten into that game. And it's not because I don't like it or because it's not good. It's just that like I'm not going to bring anything new to the table when I play it. So in a weird way, it doesn't feel like it has a point. Like it feels pointless to play. So I don't know. And that's not something I was really aware of for the longest time. And I just started kind of noticing a little bit, but
it wouldn't be pointless because you do have such a unique perspective on things, but it maybe wouldn't add as much as something completely original.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Christian, I could have sworn I challenged you and Rianne to like beat Mom and Binding of Isaac, and you haven't done it. I forget. There was something behind it. Like I was going to reward you somehow.
You were going to reward me,
dude.
Yeah. Well, I think maybe some of the same thing too. Like what Bobby was saying. Like, yeah, there's no new insight I'm going to have on Binding of Isaac that you wouldn't have already talked about.
No, definitely not. No, no. But it's not something as deep as Baldur's Gate 3. But anyway, I think we got to the bottom of that one.
Yeah.
All right. So the next question that we have from Morconius is actually directed at Nick, who's not here this week. So I guess we'll hang on to that one.
Yeah, apparently he has other friends.
Jesus Christ. Can you believe? Yeah. What a guy.
Unbelievable. All right. So I guess that's the end of the show. What is everyone playing next week?
Does it matter where I say here? Because I have like negative. There's no chance that I ever do what I say. But anyway, for this, I will definitely say, what is the game that I played? Oh, Dead Island 2. Yeah.
You know, it's funny. I think I wish I would have started tracking this, but I don't think you've ever played a game you said you were going to play. So it's basically a rule of the universe that the game that you say here will not be played.
You know, what's interesting is that maybe me saying that that's what I'm going to play sparks interest in someone somewhere, you know, and that's why I do.
Yeah. You do it for the people.
For the people.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Although I feel mostly like the chances are higher if it's a game that you've already been playing. Like Cyberpunk, when you were playing that for a while, like you stuck with it.
Yeah, for sure.
Last week, I think I said Star Wars Bounty Hunter, and then I totally forgot about that game this week. So I would still like to check that out. I also want to check out some of the new stuff with the Doom content that they've released. So maybe one of those two things.
Dude, that Star Wars Bounty Hunter game, I think it was a Nintendo exclusive. So fun as a kid in my child brain. And Star Wars Obi-Wan kind of held up to the same level as fun as I was probably having as a kid. So,
and this is a remaster. So,
yeah.
Yeah. That's
listen. If you listen to Bobby, he might be wrong, but he won't steer you wrong. You know what I'm saying? Like, you take his recommendations, it's good stuff. Especially with the sadness. Is that what we're watching next week?
The sadness. If we can take it.
I can't take it. Jeez. I'm watching the fucking... I know it's going to be terrible, so I'm going to go on Cheap Night Tuesday. So I'm only going to have to pay $10 to see the Borderlands movie. And I guess I'm playing Deep Rock Galactic Survivor.
Yeah, you are.
Nice. You're going to love it.
Can you play it off my account?
Yes.
Or Bobby's?
Either or.
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
All right, sounds good. Play it off of mine. It has more fun on it. All right, speaking for Bobby, Christian, and myself, Deep Rock Titties, Rockin' Stone. Tits and Bone.
Eh? Yeah, keep going. It's still going.
Pebbles and... Pebbles and Picks.
Yeah, that was not as good, but I liked it still. Yeah.
Crevasses and Osses.
Crevasses.